Corinthians and then went back to him this morning because of those things. And here's another message that was on the drawing board for a couple weeks from now. But when I got the phone call that our missionary wasn't going to show up tonight, it got moved up really quick. And so I wish I had more time to develop it than I do, but we'll just go with it here as the Lord leads. And I want to begin reading in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. We'll read down through verse number 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1 down through verse 5. I encourage you to follow along in your Bible as I read aloud. Paul, writing to young Timothy, said this, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Now, Father, thank you for the opportunity we have again tonight to open your word. And God, truly, there is nothing on this earth more valuable to us than the word of God. Father, it's a light to our feet and a guide to our path. Now, Lord, it gives us understanding. It goes down to the deepest recesses of our heart, dividing between the joints and the marrow. And God, we're in need of your word tonight to correct us, to instruct us, to guide us and lead us. And so, Father, I pray tonight that you would teach us from your word. Lord, give us some understanding of these things as we read Paul's charge to young Timothy. And Lord, help us to see the application even in the day we live in. Father, this charge is not outdated. It's just as real today as it was 2,000 years ago when it was given. So speak to our hearts, Father, educate our minds, but most of all, Father, improve our hearts. Draw us closer to you. Help us to love you more, to love one another. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse number 5, at the end of these verses, Paul said, "I charge you to do these things to make full proof of thy ministry." Full proof of thy ministry. Now, I want to preach tonight on a full proof ministry. Now, not a foolproof ministry, because I don't think there is one. We make mistakes, we make errors, and we're never going to have everything exactly right. But Paul is telling Timothy, as he left him at the pastor of the church at Ephesus, he's training this young man. And again, all through 1 and 2 Timothy, we saw these things. We saw this morning how he told him some things to flee from, some things to follow after, some things to fight for. He's instructing this young protege, he's instructing this young man to take the charge of the church, and here's how you're supposed to do it. Well, here he gives him some things to do also. He entrusts to Timothy the responsibilities of pastoring that church at Ephesus, and he gives him some instruction on how to do that. I'm thankful that the Bible gives us instructions on how to do things. It doesn't just tell us to do something, but tells us how to do them. That's why no matter what realm of work you'll go into, if you're a mechanic, they'll have what they call a mechanic's Bible. You know what that is? It tells them how to do everything that's related to mechanics. If you're into computers, they always call it that. They call it the Bible for that thing. Why? Because it gives all the instructions they need on how to do that thing. So when Timothy was trying to learn from Paul and being mentored by Paul how to do the ministry, how to have a foolproof ministry, Paul said, here's how you do it. And he laid out, I believe, 7 things in these first 5 verses that he told Timothy, here's what I want you to do to have a foolproof ministry. Now, folks, I don't want you to use this list to examine me as the pastor, but I want you to use this list to understand what the pastor's responsibilities are. Because that's exactly what we're looking at. Paul telling Timothy, we've laid hands on you. We have ordained you to the gospel ministry. I've left you at Ephesus to preach. Now, here's your responsibilities. Here's what I want you to do. Number 1, expound the Scriptures. Verse number 2, preach the Word. Preach the Word. The number 1 responsibility that Paul told Timothy is to preach the Word. Now, there are a lot of things that encompass the ministry. But the first thing that Paul thought of when he thought of all the things that he was going to tell Timothy to do, the first thing he said, preach the Word. He was to expound the Scriptures. I'm thankful that God has given me something to preach. He's given me something to proclaim. He's given me enough in this book from Genesis to Revelation that's going to last 1,000 lifetimes. You could never exhaust preaching this book. I can go over and I could preach John 3:16 for the next 25 Sundays and never fully expound all that's in John 3:16. That's how rich the Word of God is. And when we go through this book and we go from chapter to chapter and book to book and learn, there is a wealth of information in there, and we don't have to worry about this thing and that thing. You know, people talk about the stories in Reader's Digest, and preachers get off on story after story after illustration, and I'm not against stories and illustration to expound the truth, but there's enough in that book right there that we could spend our whole lifetime on and never mind the wealth of information that's there. Paul told Timothy, he said, preach the Word, expound the Scriptures. Be instant, in season, out of season. You know what that is? That's the Boy Scout motto, be prepared. And that's the motto I had to practice tonight when I got the phone call from the missionary half an hour before church saying, we won't be there tonight. Be prepared. Preach the Word. He said to him, expound the Scripture. Now the word expound means simply this, to explain, to lay open the meaning of, to clear of any obscurity. And the preacher's job is to make the Word of God plain. Now, I would contend, first of all, this, that the Word of God is already plain. It's not the job of the preacher to clear up obscurities as far as the Word of God. It's all there already, but sometimes we just need some help in understanding what it means and what it says. And so the preacher's job is to expound the Scriptures, to open up, to make clear, to give understanding. I mean, the Lord Jesus, the Bible says that when He was here, taught many things in parables. And to those that did not believe, those parables were confusing. They didn't understand it. But Jesus said, but when He took His disciples and they were alone, He expounded unto them all things. He explained to His disciples the meaning of the parables. The pastor's job is to take the Word of God and to give it clarity, to give it explanation, to give it meaning. Not that it doesn't already have that, but the time spent in making it simplified is what the purpose is. I am complimented when someone tells me, and I hear that a lot, that I'm a simple preacher. I don't take that as a criticism. They simply mean this. I make things simple. That's my goal. That's why I spend time in my office to digest the wealth of information there and then to make it as simple and expounding as we can. Paul told Timothy, preach the Word. Expound it. The Lord Jesus, when He was walking on the road to Emmaus, you remember He had been crucified and risen from the dead, but there were some disciples, not His 12 or His 11, but some other disciples that were walking with Him on the road in Luke chapter 24. And the Bible said that as He walked with them and they didn't know who He was, He expounded them in the Scriptures all things from Moses and the prophets about Himself. And you know what they said? Did not our heart burn within us as He opened to us the Scriptures? All right, that's the preacher's job. That's what Paul told Timothy. He said, you go in there and you make the Word of God plain. You study, you research it, you understand it so that you can expound it to them. The Bible tells us when Peter was preaching in Acts chapter 11, verse 4, Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them. He expounded. Paul said in Acts chapter 18 and verse 26 that he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took unto him and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. To expound, to explain, to lay open, to make clear. Paul told Timothy, preach the Word. Expound the Scriptures. Second of all, in verse number 2, he said, reprove and rebuke. Not only is the preacher to have a foolproof ministry to expound the Scriptures, but he is to expose sin. He is to expose sin. The Bible says, reprove and rebuke. Now, I've got to admit, I love preaching the Word. I love getting into the Bible and digging into it and researching it and looking up things and cross-referencing and mining the wealth that's there. I enjoy doing that. I am not particularly fond of exposing sin. But it's the job that the preacher is called to perform, because if he doesn't, who's going to? You're not going to hear a newscaster get on the news and say, now what happened here is the result of so-and-so's sin. Now what's happening in society is because of society's sin. You're not going to hear that anywhere else but in the church house. And sad to say, in our day, many times you don't hear it in the church. As you know, one well-known preacher said not too long ago when he's being interviewed, that word sin, I never use that word sin. How can a preacher not use the word sin? It says reprove and rebuke. Reprove is to make known the generality of sin. To rebuke is to point out that it's being committed and issued. Now, it's not singling people out. Preachers get in trouble sometimes. Singling people out and pointing to them, or, you know, preaching a sermon when something becomes known of someone in the church, they preach a sermon on that. That's not what exposing sin's all about. If we preach on it all the time, then when it happens, people know what it is. If we preach on biblical morality, people know what sin is. And sin, again, as you know, is not just the big sins. It's what we would classify as the little sins, the sins of thought, the sins of word, lying and deceitfulness, the sins of dishonesty. All these things need to be preached on. And Paul told Timothy, he said, expose sin. He said, reprove and rebuke. Exposing sin usually makes the sinner uncomfortable. And so when the preacher preaches on sin, sometimes people kind of squirm in their seat, and the preacher's got to be careful because sometimes he can notice who it is that's squirming. And can I say this? It's just as uncomfortable for the preacher as it is for the person in the pew when the preacher has to preach on sin. You know, the old expression is, if you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the dog you hit is the one that yelps. And sometimes when you're preaching on sin, somebody yelps. Now, they might not verbally do it, but you can tell by the look on their face, from the movements of their body, from their quick exit from the auditorium. No telling how it might show itself, but sometimes when the preacher exposes sin, it's uncomfortable for everybody, but it's commanded in the Word of God. If it weren't for the preaching against sin, you and I would not be revealed to what sin is. As a young Christian, when I first got saved, I learned that some of the things I was doing were wrong because the preacher got up there and showed me clearly from the Word of God. Now, he didn't know what my sins were, and he wasn't preaching to me specifically, but the Holy Spirit of God was using it in my life. And we need to be exposed to biblical preaching that exposes our sin. We need that desperately, because we're not going to get it anywhere else. We're not going to get it in the schoolhouse. We're not going to get it in the workplace. We're not going to get it from peers and friends. They don't want to expose our sin. They want to kind of get us to go along with theirs. And so Paul told Timothy, expound the Scriptures. Expose sin. Reprove. Rebuke. Number three, exhort the saints. Now this part I like. Exhort the saints. Notice in verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. I don't like that word a whole lot. With all longsuffering and doctrine. Exhort. With all. We are to expound the Scriptures, expose sin, exhort the saints. You know, the difficult thing for the preacher when he's preaching is to realize that within the congregation, many times there are lost people that need to be saved. And there are saved people that need to be more Christ-like. And to try to hit that whole realm at the same time is difficult. So we depend on the Spirit of God to do the work the preacher can't do. But the preacher needs to make his best attempt to exhort the saints, no matter what the message is. A lot of messages are basically negative, are they not? If you're preaching, Wednesday night we're going to be studying the doctrine of anthropology, the doctrine of man. Can I tell you, when we're going to study Wednesday night the doctrine of man, there's not going to be a lot of good stuff in that study. We're going to find that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Paul's going to say, I am vile. Job's going to say, I am a worm. And a reproach to all men. When we study those doctrines, we're going to... So at the same time, the preacher is supposed to not only expose sin, but exhort the saints. You've got to take that somehow and find a positive in it. Now again, some of the TV preachers are good at doing that part and not exposing the sin. There's got to be a balance. There's got to be a balance. Many times when I'm preparing messages, I'm praying, I'm sitting at my desk and I'm asking God, give me something to encourage the saints, God. In fact, give me something to encourage me right now, because this is kind of depressing. Studying the doctrine of man, studying the doctrine of sin, studying the doctrine of eternal judgment of hell, those things are not encouraging. And somewhere in there, we've got to find something to encourage the saints. The Bible says, exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So the Bible says here in verse number two, with all long suffering. You know, sometimes you're not easy to encourage because sometimes the preacher gets discouraged himself. And sometimes his discouragement is based on the people he's trying to encourage. It's just like, it's not an even-handed deal here. It's not, I'll encourage you if you encourage me. The preacher's called to encourage when he's not being encouraged. And this is not a criticism of you. I hope you understand that. But a lot of times the preacher gets discouraged, and we'll talk about that in just a couple of moments, and at the same time he's supposed to be an encouragement for others. I've told you this before. There's times I get in the pulpit and I lie through my teeth. Now, not in something I'm verbally saying for you, but there have been times that I got up here and I didn't feel good at all. You remember there's some times when I went through my liver problems, and I've told you that getting from that chair to this pulpit was the hardest job I had. Just getting up out of the chair and getting to here, but I can't communicate that to people. I can't let you know when I get up and I'm feeling miserable, because if I do, you know what you're going to feel? You're going to feel miserable too. So many times, regardless of what's going on in the preacher's life, he's got to get up here and be a positive exhortation to other people, regardless of what he's going through in his life. That's a challenge. Now I ask you this, when you pray for your preacher, remember that? That he wants to be a blessing to you, and he wants to encourage you when even he doesn't feel like being a blessing. And he doesn't feel like being encouraged or being an encouragement. So the Bible says, expound the Scriptures, expose sin, exhort the saints. To exhort is to build up, to encourage. And that's what I want to do. I want to encourage you to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to love the Word of God and to read it every day. I want to encourage you to live a godly life and be molded into the image of our Savior. Exhort the saints. Verse 3 and 4. Number 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Paul is giving Timothy some advice. He's letting him know that everybody to whom he preaches is not going to appreciate it. Everybody to whom he ministers is not going to like it. And so he says, expect some scoffers. All right? Expound the Scriptures, expose sin, exhort the saints, but expect some scoffers. Not everyone appreciates the preaching of the Word of God. I have said this before, and I would say this, that a lot of these big mega churches that will draw in thousands of people in a big crowd, if you will put a Bible preacher in that pulpit for about 10 minutes, you'd empty that place out. That's not what they're there for. They're not there to hear the Word of God. They're not there to hear Billy Sunday. They'd never come back a second time if Billy Sunday preached one sermon in that place. If D.L. Moody ever came back from the grave and preached in that place would empty in a heartbeat. They're not there for Bible preaching. And so when they hear Bible preaching, they are scoffers. Well, what's wrong with this? And what's wrong with that? And what's wrong with the other thing? You can notice a scoffer when they say, what's wrong with? Always wanted defending something that's not biblical or scriptural. Expect some scoffers. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Folks, I'll tell you this, and I'm always very careful in not giving particular information out, but our church could be much bigger. If I would say to people in my office what they want me to say to them. We've got folks in the past 2-3 months that have come in there and want to join the choir, want to be a member of the church, and I ask them things like, are you baptized? Well, no, I've not been baptized. Well, okay, you need to be baptized. They don't come back again. I had a couple sit in there. Are you baptized? Yes, I'm saved. Yes, I'm saved. I'm baptized. Well, we'd love to have you join the church. How long have you been married? Well, we're not married. Well, that's a problem. Now, it'd be very easy to back off on those things and say, well, you know, we really want to keep them in the church, and they've got a desire to serve God. And I could just give you a whole lot of things that happen that people come. And it'd be very easy to back off, but the Bible says that we have to expect the scoffers. We can't turn away from good doctrine. We can't make the church impure to bring more people in, and a lot of churches are doing that in our day. So he said, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, what they want to hear, tickle my ears, tell me what I want to hear, make me feel good about myself, build up my self-esteem. Now, I'm all for having some good self-esteem, but it has to come from the Lord and not from our own pride and our own ego. And the Bible said that they will not ensure down drunk, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. If I want to sell a lot of books, I'm going to tell people what they want to hear. And I'll put a lot of big words in it, and I'll use some psychology or twisted psychology to make it work in their skin. But people want to hear what they want to hear. And when they come to church, it's not truth is not a matter of giving people what they want to hear. It's giving the truth regardless. And verse 4 said, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Expect some scoffers. The Lord Jesus Christ faced them. The Apostle Paul faced them. And every person of God that's trying to live for Jesus Christ is going to face the same people, some scoffers. You say, what do? Just smile at them and go on your way. Don't let them know they're bothering you. Don't let them know it affects you. When you get done, go get in your prayer closet and talk to God about it. But don't give them the victory. That's what they want anyway. They want the victory. They want to know that they've depressed you and gotten you down and discouraged. Don't give them that victory. Expect the scoffers. Number 5, verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. All right? Expound the Scriptures, expose sin, exhort the saints, expect some scoffers, endure afflictions. Endure afflictions. Paul was an expert on afflictions. He knew what it was like to endure afflictions for the cause of Christ. Now remember, this is talking about for the cause of Christ. Not afflictions that we endure because of our own stupidity, because of our own mistakes or errors, but afflictions that we endure because of the cause of Christ. And Paul mentioned this many times in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 4. Paul said, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. Paul knew about affliction. In Colossians 1:24, he said, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Paul told Timothy, again, expect scoffers. Not everybody's going to appreciate your ministry, Timothy. Not everybody's going to pat you on the back and say, oh, you're a fine young man and compliment everything you're doing. Some are going to scoff. Some are going to make accusations. Some are going to, they're going to talk ill of you and speak bad of you. And Paul told Timothy, he said, when that happens, just recognize you've got to endure afflictions. Many preachers have quit the ministry because they couldn't endure afflictions. I'm not talking about kidney problems. I'm not talking about heart problems, the physical heart. I'm talking about the spiritual heart. They've been wounded. They've been afflicted. They've been trodden down. They've been walked over. They've been accused. They've been gossiped about. They've been talked about. Paul told Timothy, expect it. That's part and lot of the ministry. Now, I'm not encouraging that, but I'm saying that's what happens. And you've got to be bigger than the scoffers are, and you've got to bear it on your shoulders. You've got to walk forward with a smile on your face. Endure afflictions. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3 that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Paul said, if I'm going to serve God, I'm going to have to endure afflictions. Many years ago, I was working for Famous Supply. I was in Cambridge. And I went to one of the companies that I was a sales rep for and calling on them. And the church was probably 14, 15 years old at the time. And I went into that business. And I'd been going in on a regular basis. And they began to speak to me about our church, and we got into a conversation. They said, well, how long have you been pastoring? I said, well, I've been there 14 years. And they said, well, you must be a pretty good guy because we know something about every preacher in this town, and we don't know anything about you. And I just said, you haven't been talking to the right people. They thought, well, that was going to be a big compliment. I just said, well, you don't know the right people. Yeah, let me give you a list. Here, you want, get a paper and pen out, and I'll give you some names you can call. You can hear all you want to hear. Part of the ministry is just enduring afflictions. And understanding that's a lot. Paul said, don't be moved by these afflictions, for you know that we're appointed to that. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, he said, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. a partaker. He's talking to Timothy again in 2 Timothy 1:18. In 2 Timothy 3:11, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. Endure afflictions. Physical, verbal, emotional. Paul's telling Timothy, you've been called to the ministry. You've not been called to a life of ease. You've not been called to a life of pleasing everyone. You've been called to endure afflictions. Number 6, in verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Number 6, evangelize sinners. Evangelize sinners. In preaching the word and exposing sin and exhorting the saints and expecting the scoffers and enduring affliction. You know all that's done? You know what the goal of all that is? The goal of all that is to evangelize sinners. To see people come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Now some would think that that is the ultimate goal. That is what it's all about. And I would simply say that's one of 6 things in this list. But it is one of them. Wasn't it a blessing this morning when that young girl came down here and Cassie knelt with her at the altar, showed her the Bible, and she asked Jesus Christ into her heart? What no better way to start out the new year than evangelizing the sinner. Folks that have walked these altars, I remember when we first moved into this building, I can't remember his name, but the fellow that sat back here, African-American, black kid, that sat back here in our very first service and came forward and received Christ as his Savior. That's what it's all about. That's why we're preaching the gospel. That's why we're expounding the scriptures. That's why we're exposing sin. So that the Spirit of God can work in hearts and bring people to a saving knowledge of Christ. He said, evangelize sinners. The purpose of all is to bring people to Jesus Christ. That young girl that was here this morning had never been in church before. Here's what we think. It's her first time in church. Her first time to hear the message. In fact, she got up about halfway through and went out and used the bathroom. Could she really know what she was doing? You know what the difference is? Her friend that brought her has been talking to her. That's not something that started this morning. That's something that I would venture to say has been going on for a couple weeks, maybe a couple months. Come to my church, hear about Christ. You need to get saved. You need to go to heaven when you die. You need your sins forgiven. And then they come and they hear the preaching of the Word of God and an invitation was given. I preached that. Thank God for a church that gives an invitation. Because many churches don't anymore. And that young girl would sit there and she'd walk out the door and miss an opportunity to get saved. But we all stand and we turn to page 270 and we sing, Just As I Am, without one plea. And she comes down and she gets saved. The purpose of the preaching of the Word of God, the purpose of the ministry is to evangelize sinners, to get the Word of God out. Let people know they need to be saved. Expound the Scriptures. Expose sin. Exhort the saints. Expect some scoffers. Endure afflictions. Evangelize sinners. Number 7. There's got to be a number 7. Can't end on 6. Exalt the Savior. That's what it's all about. Exalt the Savior. Paul said in verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I mentioned that verse this morning on some things to fight for. We need to exalt the Savior. The purpose of any preacher, when John got up here and sang that song, I just want to thank you, Lord, my heart just gets warmed. I sit over there and I just get blessed by any of the songs that are sung that are exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. The preaching of the Word of God ought to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that's worthy to be preached about. We had somebody come recently, and I don't share these things very often. Somebody came recently, and they said to somebody else, they said, we like coming to your church because the preacher doesn't talk about himself. Well, this isn't about the preacher. This is about Jesus Christ. This is about exalting Him, about giving Him glory. He's the only one that can save people. He's the only one that can forgive sins. He's the only one that can write somebody's name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Preacher can't do that. We need to exalt the Savior in everything we do. Now see again, evangelizing the sinner is great, and I don't want to downplay that. We're here to see lost people get saved. But I don't think right now on a Sunday evening, I don't think there's any lost people in here right now. So if our only purpose was evangelize the sinner, we have no purpose tonight. But our ultimate purpose is to exalt the Savior. In the life of the believer, in the life of the child of God, in the life of the Christian, to exalt Jesus Christ. I charge thee therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, do these things. A full proof ministry. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, tonight we thank You for the power of the Word of God.